You're listening to Flight Test Podcast Episode 13. Hi, and welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. If you're into scratch building, FPV flying, radio control planes, helis, multi-rotors, this podcast is for you.
Okay, everyone, welcome to episode 13 of the Flight Test Podcast. Today, we're going to be having interesting discussion about the flight test forums.
Forums.
Correct.
The other side of the filling out forms.
We could fill out some forms
I hate it.
Or we could talk about the forums.
Yes.
I just pulled a few different items from the forums that I thought was pretty cool. So we're going to talk about those. We're also going to do a what's new in RC, what's new at FT, and lightning round Q&A. So, first of all, who's here? I'm Austin Fury.
I'm David Vindestal.
Chad Capper. You guys throw me because you always go backwards.
What do you mean?
Which way is backwards? You should have been next.
Why should I have been next? It's not always
clockwise. It should be clockwise.
That's true.
That's true.
Okay. If we were really professional, we'd
go
clockwise.
Hi, I'm Josh Bixler.
Fortunately, I was in the middle this time.
And Alex Zavada is going to be joining us shortly.
Yeah. He's doing something very important.
He is, actually.
What's he doing?
He is adding an item to the store. Currently.
Actually, three items.
Yeah, three items technically.
Ooh. So, but we're not going to say what they are. FT Vegan
Breast Factor.
Don't worry, you can edit it out if we edit it.
Yeah. We might talk about that, about what's new in FT.
Maybe.
That might be the main point of discussion. So
sorry,
you have to wait till segment three.
Spoiler alert.
But
supposed to say it before.
So forums. One of the reasons we want to talk about the forums today is that they're really unique. Subculture that has developed around flight tests, scratch building, RC planes, FPV flying, multirotors, etc. And really just anything that we prop up on the show or podcast or any of our other content is talked about in the forums. And so I know that there's probably a lot of people that watch the show, maybe listen to the podcast, probably browse the forums, but have never logged in and actually contributed themselves. So today we're going to be doing that on the podcast. We're going to make you do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
You have no choice but to listen. And actually, you can switch podcasts.
I got my hair cut for this.
I showered.
Well, we're very happy for that.
I got a haircut about 3 weeks ago.
Why are we talking about hygiene?
Nobody knows. Chad, do you mind talking a little bit about the forums?
I sure can.
I mean, it's come a long ways in the past couple years.
Yeah.
And I've only really started digging into the forums the past couple months. If you could talk a little bit about, just where it's come from. And
I describe the flight test forum as the flight test subculture because it's this whole active, busy, very informative, very responsive thing that happens kind of underneath all of flight test. And I really have to give a big, huge shout out to Flying Monkey because he runs our forum. And fortunately, I've only had a few people busted and bruised and crying. So,
which over 3 years,
I consider
over
3 years, that's probably like one a year. He rules it with an iron fist, but a very loving iron fist.
What's his tagline? It's pretty funny. Does he still have that?
He changes it all the time, so I don't know what it is today.
I know it was like your loving dictator or something.
Something along those lines, yeah. But he does an absolutely awesome job, and he has a team of moderators that he manages. And I, unfortunately, predominantly just participate in one thread called Ask Chad because it's hard to keep up on everything. So I try to cruise the forums and see what's up every now and then. But with all the stuff and the different channels of information and entertainment and education that we have going through flight tests, it's hard to keep up with everything. So I try to keep, a little bit of interaction on each avenue there. But I don't know. Hopefully that explains high level. I'm sure I kind of jumped in the middle.
No.
Yeah, so what's the difference between the forum and the main site then?
That is an excellent question, David. The main difference is the main site is kind of it's more of a presentation. Imagine, you're in grade school and it's show and tell. Not show and tell. It's an oral book report. And you need to go up and you need to present information.
Sounds fun.
No, so it could be a video or stats or information, but it should be a complete article that is informative and helpful to others. Consider it like the library.
Oh, that's my phone.
Ooh.
It's
I'll turn that off there. There we go.
Go.
It's like the library reference section. You know, it's something to get information, to be entertained, to be inspired. The forum, while it can have things like that, the forum is predominantly a conversation. It's, hey, I bought this thing and I don't know what motor to put on it. What should I do? That's a forum post. And then there's tons of very helpful people that get back to it very quickly.
Even projects that if you start them and it's like 10% done, just you can let it run out on the forums, the whole thing, and have discussions around it. It's really great. I love forums for that. Mm-hmm. But once that project's done, you can post it on the main site.
Right. That's an excellent way of doing it. Yeah. A lot of people try to post projects in process or a multi-part project on the main site. That's not the best way to get exposure because people go there for information or, you know, to learn about something. Yeah, reference.
The article would be a good place to post 100% completed.
Yes.
Here's the whole journey. Here's the photos. Here's the description. Maybe a video.
Exactly.
Here's the total journey. Maybe the forums is a better spot to say, here's what I've been working on. Just
journey
start
in it. Progress.
It, journey
it's a conversation.
Progress.
Yes.
Exactly.
And also what was I going to say? Imagine, you know, those articles on the main site, we're getting so many that it's getting more competitive. We cannot approve all articles that are submitted immediately, or we can't approve them all, period. So we're upping kind of the bar as far as what gets approved and what doesn't because we're getting so many submissions. So just know that when you do submit an article, the better it is, the better formatted, the more concise, the better the information that you're presenting or sharing, the higher percentage it will get approved.
And the concept being, I mean, the article, the word article, what do you read like when you read like a make article? You read something that's complete. Something
it's like a magazine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Something
that's
thorough. Something that's,
there you go.
You know, 100% complete. So.
And I'm sorry, shame on us or me specifically for not making that clear out of the gate. The site is still technically in beta mode until we can get things really solidified as far as how it functions. But
it's a good time for learning.
Definitely.
And we've seen some articles on there that have just blown us away.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what's helped us realize this is what articles are for.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Some of them are just amazing. And those get obviously approved immediately. But yeah, definitely looking to promote both sides, though, because there's a place for both of those things.
Oh, yeah.
Discussion and building and, you know, improving, that would be the forums, and then something that's complete in a presentation in the articles.
In one aspect I love that's separate from articles with the forums, there's a huge relational aspect in there because it is a journey. And when you start a project, you run into a speed bump, and then through that, someone helps you out. And then you start getting a friendship with that person because they're helping you out. And then you get to your next speed bump, and another person helps you out, and then the three of you are buddies. So I love the aspect with forums so much because you can start something and you don't have to have it all under control. You don't have to fully know it. You can say, you know, I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. And you start it and you make a forum post off of it and it just grows. And oftentimes you can get to completion and have, you know, great input, great feedback, great direction from amazing people. And then when you finish your project, you got something much better. You got a group of buddies that have helped you through it. And I see where a lot of people are linked in, especially when you follow like build posts. You know, you go to like the Bloody Wonder. Mm-hmm. And there'll be some like three or four guys that are just really passionate about that design. And anytime anyone has a problem, they jump on it and they help them out. And that's something that's really cool that I really encourage people to go to the forums because that's unique. That can't exist in the articles because people can rate them, but they're not going to help you complete it. You have to have that to completion. Like Chad, what you said, where you start it, you know, start your project and then you finish it once it's finished. Actually, Dave, I'm sorry, you said that, didn't you?
I don't know.
Someone said it. Well, once it's done, then make it over into an article when you have it all completed.
Yeah, sure.
But forums are great for relations.
Yeah, our forums are actually a little bit better than other forums because we have a lot of Care Bears.
It's the best.
Care Bears. Yeah. That's a good way to say that. There's no one nasty there.
Usually there's trolls, but we have a lot of Care Bears. They just genuinely care about people and helping other people, which is nice. It's like you take the absolute top best of and any other forum that I know and just take that as a forum.
Yeah. Oftentimes feel uncomfortable boasting about one thing, but one thing we can openly boast aggressively about is the community around Flight Test.
Definitely.
Just a step above everyone else.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I've noticed in browsing the forums a little bit more the past couple of months and like looking for things to, you know, reply to and get involved in is that most of the time when I read an initial post and thinking about something that I could offer or something that I could give, you scroll down a little bit and somebody's already done that in greater depth than I would ever think to do.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, well, that's taken care of. So, yeah, I guess incredibly friendly and incredibly helpful, I guess, would be two things that
set
our part.
I've been on a lot of forums earlier. And the problem with forums is if you have an idea that's a little too far out of the box, people can hinder you instead of the opposite of helping you.
And that's true.
I haven't seen that on our forum yet.
No, it's been very helpful. I'm surprised.
Yeah, there's enough people there that have an idea in their heart, you know, on what they want to be, and they'll keep it that way with love, you know.
Well, I was looking at the forums a little bit earlier today with Chad, and it was like 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked by how insanely popular our forums were at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah.
There was like 1,000 people browsing the forum at that time or
something
close to it.
A lot of out of state people.
Yeah, probably out of country. Yeah. And I even asked Chad, I was like, is that like right now? But yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of people reading the information there, participating in the discussion.
So thank you guys.
Can we give a shout out to some people?
Yes, absolutely.
That contribute to our wonderful forums?
Well, someone that Chad already mentioned, Flying Monkey, kind of manages the forum more or less. And this is in no particular order, but I did jot down a couple names. Jetpack Ninja, Crafty Dan, who's also a moderator there.
Wait, you should say it with much more enthusiasm and excitement than that.
Jetpack Ninja.
Roy Bro, who actually we're going to be reading a post from a little bit later here. Jim CR120. I know has a ton of posts and is very helpful in the forums. Paul T, BMS Web, Colorex, of course, Lobster Mash, Cyberdactyl.
Cyberdactyl,
there we go. Foam Addict, Earthsci Teach contributes daily, massively to the forums. XU's Me 720 and Tritium are the ones that I wrote down. And I know that there are so many users that contribute so much value to our forums, and it'd be a very long and dull podcast if we listed them all. Mm-hmm. But this is just a way to recognize how powerful the forums have become. I mean, we had to list a lot of names there before we got through some very impactful people to the forums.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I want to mention Jim CR. He actually dropped off the Moxie.
He's the one that brought the
Moxie to us. He was traveling through our state, and he made a little detour to swing in and drop off two cans of Moxie.
Well, thank you for giving us poison in a can.
So we have really some great people on the forum.
And I wish that I could list, like David mentioned, all the Care Bears on the forum, just people that really want to make it a comfortable place and really—
I'm thinking they're not going to like to be called Care Bears.
That's a forum term.
I know it's actually sticking, so that's—
Well, Fred changed his avatar right after you said that.
Yeah. So thank you, Fred. Thank you for making it stick.
I think it's a thing now.
Care Bears can be tough, too.
Care Bears riding unicorns.
They're firm but helpful.
Don't they slide across rainbows?
Who knows? On a unicorn.
Oh.
All right.
They do
planes.
Now.
Talk about planes.
Planes. All right.
So the very first discussion we're going to pull from the forums that I thought was pretty cool is this is in the off-field section, subcategory fun and distractions. This was posted by Roy Bro. So the name of the post is "To Drone or Not to Drone."
Yes.
And I can read the post here really quick. The word drone has pretty much become a dirty word in the media, yet we have some business using the word as a part of their name. RC enthusiasts like myself have become sensitive to the word and maybe a bit oversensitive, but like it or not, our small multi-rotors and RC planes fall into the broad definition of drone. So here's my question. Should we A, accept the media's negative perspective of drones and try to convince everyone that we aren't flying quote-unquote drones, or reject the negative connotation of the word and try to conceive or convince everyone that we do fly drones and that drones are not that bad? So he added a poll there, which the results are coming in on that. But I just thought that was an interesting discussion on the word drone and the semantics there and what everyone's feelings on that is.
Wow.
I think it should be called Remote Flying American. I think that would be the PC way of going about it.
Remote Flying America, you mean.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never had a problem with the term. I mean, I know that it has developed a negative connotation, but I personally I mean, I'll try to be respectful if it hurts somebody's feelings, but I don't really care if I say drone or not.
Do you say drone about the things you're flying? Would you?
It depends. If I go into – like if somebody says, oh, a friend of mine has this thing and it's got a camera on and four rotors and it's this drone that he flies. Do you fly drones? Like I don't sit there and go, no, I don't fly drones. I fly quadcopters with cameras on them.
Yeah, but would you use the drone – actively, would you actually say it in a sentence?
I think it depends on the conversation I'm in. If I start the conversation, no. Yeah. If I'm already involved in the conversation and they're referring to them as drones, then I will continue.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to get up on a big soapbox and say, no, don't use the word drone.
I think there's better fights to have than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I agree. Josh, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's funny. It seems like everything starts with words. I always pick on this. It's like, when they are mad about certain types of weapons, they call them assault rifles. Uh-huh. You know, and when they wanted to demonize a certain brand of cars, they call them SUVs. Everything was an SUV, you know, and an SUV, you know, got in an accident. It wasn't the driver, but it was an SUV. So it's amazing how you can use words such as drone, assault rifle, things like that to instill certain words or images in people's minds.
So you're saying we should call them assault drones?
Exactly, assault SUV drones. No, but what I do think is just as they use words, you got to be really careful with your words to make sure that you are thoroughly knowledgeable. So if you do pick up that debate with them, I find nothing wrong. People sometimes, they just know it. You know, AR drone came out and that was a commercially available, you know, quadcopter with a camera on it that you can fly from your iPad. So people learn this is an AR drone. Okay, that must be drones. So I could see how that language could filter in very easily into what we do. But I don't open the door with that. And if people say, you know, do you fly a drone? I was like, well, what do you think a drone is? Mm-hmm. And then I just take it from that point on. You know, I think a drone is something that carries a Maverick missile and that can kill the Taliban from 2,000 miles away. You know, no, it's not that. It's something we do for recreation. And that way, oftentimes, it'll turn around to talking about the technology and the benefits of the technology. So I don't avoid it, but at the same time, I ask them to tell me what they think it is, and then I approach them at that level. So hopefully it separates the word drone from what we do. But I don't think it's a demonizing thing. I think it's just a provocative word people use to try to instill a certain emotion.
Well, I think we might be on the crux of it. Like it was going down a negative path, but I think it's coming back. Like I think more people say drone with a smile on their face now than they did even 6 months ago. So I don't know. And I think what happened was the hobby got real us in the hobby, we got really sensitive about the word. And now we're making it more of an issue than it actually is.
Well, and that's the thing. The hobby's amazing. The technology is amazing. The fact that we can do this is amazing. So why not communicate that with a smile on your face rather than saying this is out there and we shouldn't be doing it because it's going to destroy the hobby? There's nothing positive within the hobby or outside of the hobby that can be taken from that kind of tone or conversation. But to talk about how amazing the hobby is and the technology and what it enables us to do is far better. And you're absolutely right, Chad. I believe people were talking about, oh, violations of privacy. Now a lot more education's come, and people realize, you know what? It can also rescue people. It can also see a flooded street. It can also inspect a tower in sub-degree temperatures that a normal person would have to go up on, you know, and inspect. So as that time goes on, more and more people are going to realize that this technology is a helpful thing, and violations of privacy is not an issue. I mean, the news is kind of making that case for us because some of the examples they put up are some of the most ridiculous examples ever.
Yeah. It's a tool like everything else.
Yeah. It can be what's used for good or evil.
What's the definition of a drone then?
David saw me looking up.
Well, it's actually interesting. There's actually a forum post.
Read it.
Well, go ahead. Read yours and I'll read what.
This is Wikipedia.
Okay, go ahead.
An unmanned aerial vehicle, commonly known as a drone, is an aircraft without a human pilot aboard. Its flight is controlled either autonomously by onboard computers or by the remote control of a pilot on the ground or in another vehicle. The typical launch and recovery method of an unmanned aircraft is by the function of an automatic system or an external operator on the ground. So by that definition, if you hand launch it, is it no longer a drone?
Then a paper airplane is also a drone.
It's not controlled once you launch it.
But you set the angles of things on it before.
But I think that it says its flight is controlled. No.
So we can all agree that's an absurdly broad definition that probably encompasses anything that flies without a pilot.
Will consider my paper airplanes drones.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, Jason Eric Anderson on the forums made a suggestion of this is how the different terms are perceived. So you started with drone, which is that's perceived as any platform that has been weaponized with lethal or non-lethal force. UAV is any flying platform that is remotely piloted and primarily includes some form of machine vision, such as FPV, surveillance, etc. And then RC aircraft, radio-controlled aircraft that is in line of sight, assisted or not, no transmitted video. And he clarifies that's just his opinion, mm-hmm. or that's how he perceives them, or thinks that they're perceived in general. So I don't know.
Yeah. So that's his perception of everyone's perception?
you can say that. Yeah,
well, and I even find like when you think military and civil use and stuff, they don't even call them drones. They call UAS. Them UAS. But I've heard two different definitions, unmanned aerial system and unmanned aircraft system. I think aerial system is better.
Aerial. That sounds cooler.
Yeah, but UAS.
And Mr. Clean from the forums also had the same analysis that you had, Josh, which is that, you know, the technical term, I guess, for an assault rifle is a sport hunting rifle, mm-hmm. when in reality, the media has to have a label for it because it sells more stories.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Different perspectives there.
Here's a cool way of looking at it. Assault weapons, you know, when those were hitting their prime and everything, they brought out this provocative language. SUVs, same thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're taking this turn on, quote-unquote, drones with the hobby kind of solidifies in my mind that this hobby is just about ready to explode. It's become very cool, very
watch approachable. Your words.
ready to take Phrasing. Off in a capitalistic manner. Is that better?
That's better.
That's okay. Funny. Well, do you guys think that I'm trying to think of a company, maybe like 3D Robotics.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to be pretty okay with the term drone. I mean,
well, the website is
DIY drones.
DIY drones.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're trying to reclaim that term. Yeah. As something that's more functional or hobby.
Well, and that's kind of – if I were in a camp, that would be the one I'm in. It's like we had the word first.
Right.
Like let's let it be
so
what it –
So give it back.
Exactly.
I'm just going to make a note for my future self. If you listen to this, you were wondering which way it was going to tip. So in like 10 years, you think it was going to be retaken, but you weren't sure. Okay.
I think you can answer that in like 6 months.
Now I'm confused.
Think so? I don't think you have to wait. David's giving himself a mental note in 10 years from now.
Yeah, so. When I listen to this.
Like
in
you're
10
actually
going
to listen to this podcast.
I made
you
a
okay
note
there, Austin?
I'm going to die. Sorry.
Okay.
That's okay. We have more people.
Alex will be in just a minute.
That was really cool.
Tell him just to shove my limp body aside and take over my mic.
Shovel, guys. Need another shovel.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I think that...
That was a good post.
Yeah, we dug into that quite enough. Yeah. So anyway, if you want to check that out or post on it, it's in our forums.
Well, this is good. We should do debates.
Here's something debate. Funny. Let me ask you this. We're talking about Care Bears being on the forum and everything. Mm-hmm. That's a very provocative thing to start a conversation down. Did it get ugly?
That's a good question.
How long did
it take? No, I mean, it's all very civil. I think there's a lot of great discussion.
Okay. Try to post that on another RC forum and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, just any RC forum.
RC forum.
Any just large RC forum.
Just travel
or a group.
Yeah.
Or an RC group.
Yeah.
And there's
or some kind of forum of that sort.
There's a ton of great analysis in the thread that
really bad.
We didn't even touch.
Now I feel guilty.
Yeah, I do. Sorry, Jim Tim. J.T. Graham.
He's awesome.
I
love him.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, now I feel guilty. Yeah. Can we take that back?
What was said? I missed it.
It's okay.
Nothing. It was very non-overt.
Maybe everyone else missed it too.
Yeah.
All right. I think the second thing we should talk about, did anyone in the forums see the crack?
Wait, while you're thinking about that and coughing.
This is terrible.
Here's some water.
Yeah, here's water.
Oh,
he's got some.
I got one. Okay. I'm almost done with it.
I do want to encourage people. Debates are good. Like we're not saying people shouldn't disagree. We're just asking
to disagree in a civil way.
Yeah, that they're respectful as they do it. So, I love debate. So definitely bring debate to the forum, but just make sure.
No, I don't think we should debate.
It's here, here.
I disagree, David. Let me give you 5 points as to why.
What's our next forum topic?
Our next forum topic.
See what I did there.
Transition. I liked it.
Something's wrong if Josh is the one keeping us on track.
it's my green tea I'm drinking.
The next post was the updated Kraken 2.1.
Nice.
I don't know if anyone saw that post, but this guy made an awesome-looking scratch build.
Can I see it?
Show it to you guys
No,
here.
I didn't see it.
And I'll put it in the show notes so everyone else can see it.
It's awesome.
Oh,
isn't that gorgeous?
That's amazing.
It looks sweet.
We have a show note for this. Oh. Click it now.
Yeah,
we're killing our audience. We're like, what are they seeing? What are they seeing?
So can someone describe what they just saw?
I just love foam board.
I don't know.
Okay,
it's
a flying body Kraken, I think would be the easiest way to describe it. But what he's done, it's absolutely amazing. Let me take a look real quick. Hold on. Yeah, okay, I'm right about that. Is that he's taking care of the balance issues by making it a full body. In the center, he can actually have it be a pusher. And that gives you room up front to put your camera gear and stuff to make it balance out naturally. So,
he actually has a nose.
Yeah.
It looks like a, not to use the word drone, but like a predator drone.
A Horton? No, not quite a Horton.
No, it looks like the new Stealth.
Yeah. The one. Yeah, Dave and I just watched a video of the new Stealth being launched off an aircraft carrier.
That was pretty awesome.
It does look a lot like that, actually.
Yeah, it does.
You know what just amazes me? This is Dollar Tree foam board. Yeah. To me, everyone's like, oh, that Dollar Tree foam board is horrible. You know? Yeah.
That was divisive. Face people.
No. No, it's amazing. And what he's done with the folds, and it's so clean.
And for a shout out, this is Adam D in the forums.
Way to go, Adam D.
Yeah, way to go, Adam.
Yeah, good job, brother.
And that's if you want to get to that, that's in the workbench and the Mad Scratch Builders corner.
Please tell me he has plans.
I didn't see any, but that doesn't mean there aren't any.
There's been some other crazy wing configured Kraken style planes out there too, that have like a bent wing on them and everything. Just amazing.
I think when people design stuff like that, we should have everyone at Flight Test email them and ask them for plans.
Methodically.
That'll get it done. And this would be honestly a good example. Say this is a project of his and he's wanting to bring it forward. Once it's done, once there's a plan, then carry it over to an article. And that would bless so many people.
Yes, definitely.
And he's probably getting close to that point. I don't know if he's maidened it yet or not. But yeah, I would say after the maiden with the video, that makes a heck of an article.
Well, and here's the benefit, too, is he's getting people excited about it and eager for it. So once he puts that over into an article, people are going to jump on that article and rate it and bring it right up to the top. So that's probably a really good natural progression of how things can go from forum to article content.
Nice. Why do we say do a maiden? It sounds really bad to my non-American ears. Sorry, I just wanted to derail things.
I think you did a pretty good job.
Thank you. That's a really smooth transition into
the next topic, which is we're going to read something from the forums that is – it's in the Everything Flight Test section. The title of the thread is For Those Who Cannot Afford RC Gear. So the user's name is Fast Learner, and he says, I am a father of two boys, and I cannot currently afford – an electronics package for a plane, but I can afford foam board and hot glue. I was interested to hear from Josh B. on the podcast 11 that the FT-22 could fly well as a free-flight hand-launched glider. I would be interested in any plans for planes that fly well without any electronics and would look as cool as the FT-22.
I got one that's not going to look as cool as the F-22, but I am going to work on a Chuck glider that a father and son are – I keep saying that. My goodness gracious.
Or mother and daughter.
And child.
Why does that have to be a father?
Yeah.
How about how about two people who care about each other could get together and build in the evening and go out and have some fun without anything. And honestly, what I want to do is take like the simple Sora thing down, make a cool-looking Chuck glider that is nearly indestructible. So, but yeah, the F-22 is good. I'll put that pod up design for the Chuck lightering the FT flyer. But oh, Alex is here.
Hey, Alex
can get it on this because he's the one that talked about the F-22 as a Chuck lighter.
The only time I fly a plane without electronics is when my battery falls out.
Or when they pull hygiene.
Which happens surprisingly often.
Which is often.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Good. What's up, guys?
Good. Here, I'm going to turn this a little bit towards you so we can make adjustments.
So here, you'll be
stereo.
Yeah.
Alex now has two microphones in his face.
Yes.
So there were some other really great responses.
Press your cheek against Josh's.
Don't do that. Do not do that.
Just to update you, Alex, is what we're talking about is someone posted on the forums. We're doing a forums episode talking about different forum posts. Somebody asked what is some good designs other than the FT22 that fly well without electronics for kids. So Josh's response was going to come up with a chuck glider.
Yeah, I want to do a chuck glider, and that'll be a really cool thing to do. And especially we want to move into schools more.
Flyable by more people than just Chuck.
Exactly.
In anybody glider. No, but I want to come up with some designs where for school projects, STEM projects, they can they can basically go into schools and doesn't have to have an RC system with it. It can be the science of building it, tweaking it, flying it, and then some kind of catapult system that makes everything equal and then getting the longest flight out of it. That would be really good to fill that in because, you know, one of my favorite memories, my dad got a I think it was a Dynaflight, not General Lady, Dynaflight Butterfly. And for some reason, along with that kit, they were sent a chuck glider, and it was a little balsa thing. It had clay for the nose and a little finger grip, and I built that right next to them. And that was really cool because at the end of the day, we both got to go out and do something special, and they're both within skill level. So I see a lot of sense if you want to passively introduce someone into the hobby but don't want to have all the intimidation electronics. It'd be a good fit, and I think it's long overdue. Also, I guess a request is a lot of girls are coming to the hobby. I want to design something or bring something to reality that they would like to fly. So if any of you dads out there, because I'm blessed with boys, have an idea what your daughters would like to see in the air, if there's something, oh, that's really cool, or I'd like to see a butterfly. I don't want to get stereotypical and think that they want to fly a flying heart or a flying butterfly or something like that. That's kind of stereotypical. But if there is something that they think is cool and enough people say it, it'd be really awesome to bring that as a reality for plans and or kit or whatever, but just so they can have a project together.
Yeah, anybody that wants to comment on that, you can go to the flighttest.com, upper right-hand corner, click the podcast, go to episode 13.
My wife really likes the snowball.
Nice. Yeah. The question is, did she fly it?
And obviously, too, anything will glide if you balance it out right. However, first thing that comes to my mind is Dan, our friend Dan over at Laser Toys, sells these things called a Phoenix. Mm. And you can get them anywhere. That's basically just like an EPP kind of glider with, what does it have, polyhedral.
Yep.
Awesome chuck gliders, super lightweight, super durable. Me and my friends even just play catch with them, kind of like a football. We've made up games and stuff.
You bought my kids one.
I gave your kids one. Yeah. They glide. So actually in the hot air balloon episode, it's the glider that Dave threw from one hot air balloon to the other.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. They fly so straight and true, and they just keep going. So that's another first one that came to my mind anyways.
Nice. And in the forums, Crafty Dan and some other people had some really good responses to that. So if you want to go read those, go for it. Okay. Well, I think that we did a good job of covering the forums. And just if you haven't given them a chance, go check them out. There's a ton of other people there. So the other thing we want to talk about today is our second segment, which is what's new in RC. Have a couple notes here. First one being the Micro Radian.
Any thoughts? That thing is amazing.
It looks awesome.
Now, Dave, you're happy it wasn't the Micro Radian Pro, right?
Yeah.
That was probably done on purpose.
I wonder if it comes with AS3X, yes. But I have no idea if you can turn it on and off or not.
Probably not.
That's a really good question because when you hit like a little pocket of thermal, the wing rises. And if it immediately counteracts it, it's going to look like it's just...
I don't think it has ailerons though.
No.
But if it's constantly moving the servos, such a small battery, it's going to reduce your flight time. Mm. And you want to feel exactly what the plane is feeling. I don't know. I haven't flown it. It's just hypothetical.
You know what I mean? We all watched the promo video for it. And they showed it in 10-mile-an-hour winds. And it's not that big. But they also showed it in a gymnasium.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And the Duet was I fell in love with the Duet because it reminded me of a little twin-engine Radian with the glide slope it had and everything.
What's the Duet? Describe it and size and how does it look.
Okay, yeah, the Duet's probably, 21 inches long, two brushed motors, uses differential thrusters, no rudder control on it.
It has an elevator.
And it has an elevator, yeah. So you do have full function, flight on there, but it has a real nice affirmative rudder feel because it's driven through power, not through the fin. And it's amazing, but the nice thing is you throttle back and the thing actually glides, and it can taxi beautifully on the ground. But this is amazing because I love the original Radian too, and it captures every aspect of what the big one is.
I wonder if you could put sternos in a gymnasium and then catch thermals.
I think that's an episode.
That's how episodes are born.
Yes.
I wonder if.
run around with a blowtorch.
Either that or we catch a whole bunch of little radiums.
Sorry, I zoned out a little bit. I was reading the description of the...
By the way, the vegan is live.
Yeah, ooh, now. That's official. Why you're in the room, right? Well,
yeah, you just announced it. Yeah. What were you doing, Alex?
I was just posting the vegan on the store.
Guys, you are blasting ahead to the next segment.
Oh, yeah, okay. Move back. Sorry.
Well, it's new.
Rewind.
It's new.
It's not, well, yeah.
It's,
well.
That's new NFT episode.
I have another side note on a completely different subject.
Please do.
When it, going back to creating artificial thermals over the summer, David, David and Josh and I... got our hands on my dad's hot air balloon, gas-powered inflation fan. It's just like a massive – it's like a tractor motor hooked up to like I don't know.
Prop.
It is – it's like a – what can that be? 50-inch prop?
It's big. It fills a hot air balloon, so I mean you could imagine. We tried just like shooting that straight up in the sky and then flying a glider over it.
Chuck glider.
And yeah.
It didn't go well.
It was a little bit turbulent. Just a tiny bit.
It was like a bit switch. It was on or off.
Yeah.
Minimally.
It was very interesting.
But it was fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That was awesome.
I like the sterno idea. That would be awesome. Two things will happen though. You probably end up doing a beautiful spot landing on one of them.
Yeah. And then flames.
And then the flames.
And another, while we're talking about gliders, Dreamflight has announced what was the name
LaBelle.
Of it?
Elusive.
LaBelle.
That's something else.
That's Horizon.
I'm mixing up. Oh, right. I'm mixing up.
LaBelle, I think is what it's called.
No, yeah, you're right. It is LaBelle.
Which I'm assuming is a bird bone, because that's what an Alula is.
Probably, yeah.
An Alula is a
bird.
There's
something
bone.
On the bird, probably. It's a discus launch foam glider.
$120.
$120 for 120 centimeters of fun.
Actually,
sold it for you.
Actually,
how much are they paying you, dude?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Actually, I really want one. So if you have one, send it.
How do we know you already don't have one?
They're paying David a euro to say that.
A euro? Wow, I'm going to be rich.
Actually, LaBelle means – it's actually the Dutch word for dragonfly.
Oh, really?
I was way off.
I knew that. I just didn't want to say anything.
Right. I don't blame you.
Anyone selling a know-it-all.
Don't worry. Sorry. That was an opener. Okay.
So there's also now a safe Super Cub LP.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
Tell me, do they have it? I haven't looked in the brushless motor thing. Or the brush motor thing kills me. Is it still brushed?
I don't know. I didn't see in the description that it didn't say it was brushless. So I have no idea.
I absolutely love that plane, but I just cannot understand why in the world it's still a brush motor going.
Because it makes that wonderful sound.
And after a couple of little ground loops or nose overs, it's like.
But it still works.
It still does work.
I believe,
and it lets you know it's working.
I do believe it's brushed.
Oh, man.
No, really? The new one, it's red. They changed the color scheme on it.
Okay, I'm looking at the old one then. Oh, well. We'll look it up later.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's nice to have computers here at the podcast room.
What was the plane you mentioned?
The E-Flight Elusive is what I was talking about.
So what's that?
That's a new thing.
It's built up wings and a fiberglass fuselage.
Yeah, it's a glider.
Yes.
It's how big was it? It's like 3 meters, pretty big?
1,200 millimeters.
What? Right. It's pretty small. No, now you're on the dream flight one.
I'm looking it up. Hang on.
Okay, that's the...
It's like 2.5 meters or something.
It's 2.5?
I'll go to specs.
It's a V-tail glider. It looks pretty
2.2
cool.
2.2 meters.
2.2. Okay, yeah. So I would... It kind of looks like a warmliner-ish type of a thing.
I like the look at the battery capacity though. That's the cool thing I like. It's nothing unique.
It's a V-tail. Did we say that?
And then 2200 3-cell in it, right?
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Huh. So it can't be that hot. So it's not a hot liner. Okay, it's a warm liner.
It's like a lukewarm liner.
You know, while we're on the topic of new things, I don't know why, but we don't often get requests from established manufacturers to release their product.
Yeah.
Because we would gladly help people release a product. Unfortunately, they call us well after the fact. It's 3 months. They're trying to ramp up sales.
We released this a month ago, and then we have to get it within the next 2 months, and now by that time it's quarter year old.
And we would gladly help people launch their new products. Now, of course, we would have to make sure it's something our audience is interested in it.
You're saying like pre-time the episode to release right when the product releases.
Right,
and
right.
And it'll help generate excitement and
exactly.
traffic and all that. Yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, we've offered that to a number of manufacturers and they go, oh, yeah, that would be great.
And then
it stops there.
Not so much.
Yeah. I honestly think it's kind of like a lot more places run like us than we think, where it's like they're just scrambling to get it last minute and, you know, into the doors. And fortunately, since the only way we can communicate is with video, it works out perfect for us. But
right.
it'd be great to do pre-releases and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, and now keep in mind, I do want to say that for established manufacturers, not yeah. right out of the gate, because we do get offers quite often for people that have their first product, which there's too many of those for us to be able to,
right.
to jump out. And it's not market tested or anything.
Or customer service, so. That's a big thing.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah, so we need to make sure that if we're going to do that with someone, that it's somebody that we can support, or they can support customer service and be able to get back to people and all of that.
I probably shouldn't talk about it quite yet because, well, yeah, I'm not. But we are working with a major company to help them in the second quarter and third quarter
yeah.
Launch some of their products. So not going to talk about it quite yet. Maybe next podcast.
It's
when
a
we,
secret.
It's a secret. Don't tell anyone.
It scared me. I thought you were right in my ear.
I got to say, I love having these headphone thingies on.
Yeah, we're all
amazing.
Wearing,
I feel left out.
Sorry, yeah. Alex.
Do you want my headphones?
No. Next time. No. We need to get a splitter for one of these. That would work.
No,
right?
There's one left, oh. but How he doesn't have any headphones. He doesn't like it either.
Yeah, I'm good.
Next time. Maybe next time.
Mine's right. crushing
I
my
sound
skull.
Weird to myself.
Oh, I sound weird,
Oh, and
too.
We derailed again.
Yeah. So what's new in RC? Mini quads.
Oh, right.
Mini quads everywhere.
Yeah, just like 250
everywhere.
Size.
Just flying left
Holy
and right.
Holy cow.
And they all look kind of similar.
Yeah.
So they are. They all boast the same features, which I think is pretty cool. And that's durability and speed.
Yeah.
And also just big enough to carry standard FPV gear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just big enough and just powerful enough to do what's standard and no bigger. So that is cool. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and that's mainly because the control boards have finally catched up. All the electronics
yeah.
are finally there to actually have a good flight experience in a small quad.
Yeah, a couple of those are, in case anyone wants to check them out, the QAV 250. There's a big thread and RC groups on the Minion quad. And then Blackout Quad, which mm-hmm. some people might have heard of. So, yeah, lots of little mini quads, and I'm sure that there's probably 20 I didn't mention. But
yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
And I know in the future we're going to be doing some stuff with mini quads.
Yeah, we'd like to do like a mini quad face-off or some
yeah.
sort of episode where we can match, you know, some of these quads head-to-head and really see what they're made of.
Cause nice.
We like putting things through the paces. So.
Saying see what they're made of, it's literally made of after we crash it. We see what they're made of.
See so. What's left of it.
Yeah, see what's left of it. How durable are they?
See what they were made of.
Yeah,
yeah right.
Talking about quads... The Steady Drone
yes.
is coming out with something new, right?
Yep. They have a new quad. And their quad is spelled QU4D. That's how they spell it.
Okay.
But
it's very hip.
Yeah, it's actually was very supposed hip. To be out, but I think they announced... Is it today?
Is it today? Really?
Maybe. You
Let's
know what?
Here.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, we should, you know, we should let them know. We're literally recording the podcast the day we're going to release it because oftentimes we talk about dates. That was one of the requests.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So, that's
yeah.
true.
Today so, is
February 10th, right?
Yes, 2014.
Monday, February 10th. And this is when it's going to release, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It says $15,000 in stock.
What?
In stock?
It might be a typo, but that's what
for
it says.
For only $15,000?
It can be yours.
Oh, I'm looking at it, too.
You can buy a small vehicle or a Steady Drone
Quad X.
Please tell me that's
Oh, that's the big one. It's
What's
got
that
super
yeah,
long flight time.
It
Josh
says
Scott?
2014 Steady Drone Quad X.
Oops, I just added it to
Yeah, there's a 2014 Quad, which is $495.
One click checkout.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we wanted to buy that, right? Because I just...
Nice. I'm sure we can get like a tax.
Alex just bought it.
That was attached to the.
Don't hit it again. You just bought two.
Stop. Someone must stop. Alex.
Now we're in the hole. $30,000.
Oh boy. We're gonna have a sale on Viggins today.
Yeah. Just to be clear, they have two quads. One is this monster,
One's
super long quad.
The one I was trying to click on was said $500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it took me to the one that said $15,000.
And the other is 30
That's
times
how they
more
get
than
you.
That.
Right.
I want to see a seat on that thing.
So is the small one out?
I think so. It's on the site.
2014, yeah, Steady Drone Quad.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Nice. So we might be getting one.
Maybe. We were supposed to.
Be specific, not the $15,000 one.
No.
Yeah, right. $495 is the price on the one we're getting.
Maybe
right
they'll
now
accidentally send that one.
If they, if
we
they
accidentally
do,
clicked
we
on it, so it's possible. We added the cart. So, all right.
Oh, my.
Well, moving along here, the Go Discover from Hobby King. Any thoughts?
Yeah. That's pretty impressive. I like the wing design. I want to call them wing plates, but I know wing plates are generally at the wing tip.
Yeah.
There was a 10-minute discussion
side force
prior to this.
Generators. But it's not that either.
No, they're not, that's for 3D. That,
what's it called? The
it's skipping my mind. Long story short, with delta wings, what happens is the wind or the airflow likes to trail towards the tip of the wing. This keeps it trailing laminarly over the wing the proper way and gives you good control feel and everything.
Yeah, it doesn't spill. It
doesn't spill out.
To track back a little bit, the Go Discover is a plane very similar to the RV jet that Hobby King just released.
Yes.
So it looks like it has a pan and tilt dome. Mm-hmm. It looks roughly to be the same size. And they did some different things with the wings.
Yeah, it lacks a little bit of the awesome versatility of the RV jet. Because the RV jet, you can make it stub wing or long wing so easily. Yeah. And boy, that thing performs. So
yeah, it is a nice
1600 millimeter.
1600?
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be interesting to see a head-to-head of the Go Discover.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
We should get one.
The dome, the dome thing, I don't like looking through the dome after you pointed that out.
Yeah, I personally hate all domes.
Yeah. But I do like
that's
I do like
a
underneath
very broad statement.
that really but is.
I hate your
I
dome.
I think it's true.
Yeah. I do like the underbelly on this. It was very simply designed.
It looks very similar, inspired by something else.
Yeah. Well, you know, the keel is really cool. But the one thing I really like is with the RV jet is the fact that that box, you got to hold on to that box because it just comes apart and pops right back into that box.
It was awesome.
But this looks cool. I'd love to see if it can handle a GoPro 3. You know,
I
or
don't
if
know
it's just GoPro
that
2 only. Because the RV jet was GoPro 2 only.
No, it's the one we got, it was just in the transition, so now it comes with it.
Oh,
GoPro 3.
I wonder if they have brushless gimbal or brushless.
Ooh, that would be
this Go Discover is pictured with a Hero 2, so I don't know.
Tricky.
There we go. One way to find out.
What's a GoPro 2?
It's new thing, kids.
It's hipster. Not everybody has it.
There we go.
I just like pushing that button.
Yeah. He pushed it.
Well, that's all I have for what's new in RC, guys.
$138 bucks plug and play is a pretty good price.
Is that what the Go Discover is?
$138 bucks, USA.
It's not bad.
Does it come with an iPad?
It just requires two iPads. Your battery, your receiver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Buy one.
Buy one, get one.
Yep.
That is does it come with the deal dome?
Yep.
Actually, it comes with a spare dome. I'm not sure how I know that, but it does.
did we mention the FX-79?
Oh, no, we didn't.
Oh, yes.
That's new. And I had never heard of it until it just kind of showed up at our doorstep.
Until you were unpacking it?
Yeah.
And I can never remember what it's called.
Which
I always say, like, ZX-89 or,
It's made by Zeta.
Yep.
Which, Jill, thank you for sending that. We're working on getting it together still.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It's also similar to – I'd say it's more similar to the Skywalker X8.
Mm-hmm. But smaller.
It's a little bit smaller. Looks a little bit different. Doesn't have winglets. It has regular kind of vertical stabilizers.
Like the RV jet.
Kind of, yeah. So it's kind of like the RV
it's
jet.
It's definitely like a hybrid between the RV jet and the X8. And actually, the Go Discover, now that we're looking at the picture right now, because it seems like removing those outer wing plates and moving them in is really where a lot of people are going now.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it's just more convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Buffalo FX-79.
Buffalo?
There's a buffalo in front of it.
Really?
Don't hit it.
I thought it was a meta.
that's just what it says. So I'm just repeating what I'm reading.
We're just waiting for the weather to get nice because I am so sick and tired of flying FPV over snow.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's bland.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we have a very robust segment now coming up, which is what's new in FT. So, what did we all just get done watching?
There's nothing new here.
Nothing new here. David,
we just now, like 10 minutes ago, or before the podcast, 10 minutes before the podcast, we watched the FT Vegan episode.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. What do you guys think?
I liked it.
Oh yeah,
It was
epic.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's all right.
The ending, honestly, I'm not going to spoil anything. The ending was the best part for me.
I don't think anyone's going to listen to this and not seen that episode.
It's possible. It's releasing right now. So it's okay. So it's unlikely, but it's possible.
Yeah. No, it's actually possible. Sorry for you guys.
You did a great job, David.
Great job, brother. It really was a great design and great episode.
Yeah, it's nice to have it out of the way or like get it done. So it's now it's finished. It's in the production. It's currently rolling out like crazy in the back.
Austin, you and my wife are working like crazy.
Yeah, cutting out vegans.
Yeah, so that was a lot of time spent on that plane.
How many hours do you think you have into that?
I don't want to think about it.
All of them, yeah.
Just the decal set was like 40 hours to do the decals.
Oh, man.
Which are available for free. The plants.
The right. Pattern.
Yeah, the pattern because we can't sell
digital
them.
The download of the pattern.
Why don't we sell them?
Because they are so expensive for us to buy.
And the tube that they come in weighs like 14 pounds.
Yeah, but I made them so you can cut them and actually fit them in a normal box around the plane. But still, they're way too much.
Oh, so you just get their hopes up again just to rip it away.
Yes, let me just say it would be unreasonable to sell them.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
It would, unfortunately.
It would be insulting, the price that we'd have to sell them for.
It kind of breaks away of common material, simple, build it, rebuild it. You'd be crying if you put those decals on and you crashed it and you lost that money. You'd be crying at the end of the day.
But if you can get the free patterns and find a place to inexpensively print them out and get them on your plane, that's awesome.
Yeah, if you work at a place that has a 54-inch printer, just knock yourself out.
Golden. Yeah. You're absolutely golden.
I hear people talking, oh, yeah, we can print on that foam board and everything. So for all I know, that someone may go out and
because it was – the sticker was really effective because it did waterproof it pretty well.
Yeah.
Made it more durable, a little bit more rigid. Mm-hmm. So if you guys know of any place or way to kind of make these huge kind of stickers, let us know.
Well, it increases your social status as well.
Indeed.
We had no luck with as far as the price is concerned.
Let's just say the quantity we'd have to order just to make it where if we sold it for zero profit to make it even feasible would be like 1,000.
We'd have to become a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. So that's not going to happen.
But the airbrushed one I thought looked just as cool.
Mm-hmm. It does look gorgeous.
And Chad has a great flight test video on airbrushing.
Yeah, and if you send it in, I'll paint it for $300.
$300 a minute.
I'll decal it for $2.99.
Well, I'll have you do it.
I'll put a flight test sticker on it for $5.
And I'll sell it to both of them for $150.
No, it's kind of funny. Sometimes when we do certain episodes, they're more anticipated than others. Like today when we actually more or less revealed, me and Dave Knopp are the only two people that actually, our editor, we're the only two people that actually watch the footage. So it was kind of a reveal for the rest of the crowd, the hangar at flight test as well. So everyone just gathered up, and it was a pretty good picture.
Yeah, I'll post the picture to Facebook here shortly. This is also timely. The podcast is releasing today. The episode is releasing today.
Yeah.
Posting to the Facebook today.
I think we need to do this every time.
I think you're right. Wait till the last minute. We're good at it.
No pressure.
Yeah. So actually, in the mail today, I got a 70-millimeter EDF with a 2,000-watt motor on it. So I'm going to put that on.
It is insanely ridiculous. It sticks out like 6 inches from.
Yeah, it's compensated for something.
I'm just getting ready to say that.
I'm gonna put that on a vegan, and I'm also going to try out a 3D printed thrust vectoring nozzle.
Nice. Ooh.
So you can have two directional 360-degree thrust vectoring EDF.
With the 2,000-watt motor?
No, not.
Oh, heck yeah.
Not to start out with. I bought that motor with my own money. Now I'm going to get that home.
I see there's two standards. There's flight test equipment, and then there's Dave's personal bought with his own money.
Yeah, that's because when I buy something I want to bring home, I have to pay for it, and then I want to bring it home.
Well, he also doesn't want to get approval on certain things.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't want to chance them saying no.
Yeah, I'll just
go for it. It makes for some pretty spectacular crashes, though, so I can't complain.
It was only $80, so.
Nice.
I mean,
with the fan?
A fan and motor dynamically balanced. So thank you, EDF Hobbies.
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool. That's
so we'll see if we might do a little short episode on that if it works.
You know, honestly, we're going to be going to Ceph, and that's going to be the last event that you're going to be at.
Yeah.
I think we need to bring a ton of vegans down, just like we did with the Spitfires. Remember, past the transmitter, but just fly them like crazy and send you off the right way.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And have, if everything works like in my mind, we'll have a...
It always does.
Yes. We'll have a 3D not vectoring nozzle thingy that's controlled on a KK2 board running Open Arrow, so it can hover in place without any effort.
Who sent you the design for that 3D printer? Do you remember his name?
That was... he put me on the spot.
Sorry.
We will
put
link
it in the
that,
show notes.
Yeah, we will link that. He's such a nice guy. I couldn't find... I didn't want to spend too much time sitting down and designing one. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stuff figuring out. So a guy on RC Groups actually had a thread for the first functional 3D printed nozzle. And I'm like, I asked, can you send me the file and I can print it? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I got it. It was very nice and it looked perfect.
Wow.
Nice.
That's great. That's one blessing about the community. Boy, they make these amazing things and they share it freely.
Yeah.
So thank you. Person who we're going to link to later.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Remember, that link needs to be today. So. Or as in now.
As in now. Yeah, I can bring it up. Just remind me afterwards.
Lovely.
David also created an eyepiece for the camera.
Yeah, because I don't have an eyepiece for my 6D that we...
it's a Canon DSLR.
Yes, that we... thank you, Chad.
You don't use $20,000 cameras every day?
No, this is my personal camera.
Oh, okay.
And I got it really cheap and all that. I usually try to get a good deal and stuff.
We're so far off.
We got to talk about the story of the Facebook post. Because there was a lot of mixed... I think people assume that you use a $20,000 camera every day.
No, we don't. That's a C300 that... Chad,
it's only 15,000.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, it's a C300, a Canon C300. It's a professional video camera that Stonecap, which is Chad's other company, which should do
video production.
Yeah. So commercials and stuff.
Yeah. Nice. So even if we had it, it wouldn't make sense to shoot the show with it because the post production workflow is much more difficult.
It'd be scary.
We go from fluorescent lamps on tripods with gel cover over to 15,000. People were going to like say, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'd be so scared that I was going to hurt it.
Yeah. Don't want that anywhere near me.
Yeah. It costs almost as much as my house. It's kind of insane having that on your shoulder. But it's a really nice camera. Shoots 50 megabits per second.
Yeah. We just will enough. Play with it.
Yeah.
But it's not a regular camera to use.
No, no, no.
All right. I hate to move on from this derail, but we have about 20...
We do have a lot of squirrel moments today, don't we?
We have a lot of squirrel moments. That's okay. That's what you get with an impromptu recording session. But we have about 25 questions to get to. I know we're not going to get to them all simply because... Yeah, we have to give this to Brian to edit.
Oh, okay.
And approximately.
Well, not really edit, just prepare.
Well, throw the intro and outro and upload it and all that fun stuff. So anyway, let's dig into the first lightning round.
I hope this works because we didn't try this before.
Oh, yeah, we didn't test it.
So let's see.
Let's try it.
Hey, guys. My name's Ryan, a.k.a. Crash Recovery on the forums. A couple questions for you. First one, when you guys build a new plane, how do you figure out the CG and everything for the aircraft? Second, when Josh is explaining the throws of an aircraft and says to use about 30% throws, is that the total movement or is that just half? All right, guys. Talk to you later. Have fun. You guys are doing a great job.
All right. Good question.
So pose the questions.
First question, how do you find out the CG? Second question is 30% throws, half.
Oh, can I talk about the CG part?
Yes.
Yeah, go.
Okay. The CG part's fun. Basically, we take it, we build it as a shell, and going back to our chuck lighter thing, I honestly just take a dead battery that's not any good, and I tape it in the nose, and I kind of give it a test glide. And then I give it another test glide, and I give it another test glide. And the point at which it actually starts gliding and behaving properly with nothing on it, everything neutral, I just mark it with a pencil and measure off of that, and that's the CG. Put the guts in it, move your battery to bring it to a balance, and you're good to go. And by the way, I have a hard time with balancing planes.
Yes, you do.
I could see your face. I could tell you're getting ready to talk about this.
So whenever you balance a plane, it should be level. not nose heavy.
But if you see it designed by Bixler, make sure the nose is always pointing down just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better with that, but it's always safe to have your plane just a touch nose heavy. For some reason, when I mark it, I like, honestly, if you have the plane totally level, about 1 inch nose drop on that design, you know, almost any design is where I find comfort in. Unless it's like a super stubby. But it's wrong. I know it's wrong. It's what I do.
And it's just different.
I went back and changed the cruiser to make it balance proper, and that way people know. But
good, because it's called a balance point.
Also, just for the people that we kind of have this as an assumed, but give them the basic formula for the
it's
wing.
Roughly, if it's a straight airfoil, like a straight leading edge, it's roughly 20 to 25% back. Mm. If it's swept back.
That's very safe.
A third is always a safe way to go.
But just for a starting point.
Yeah,
one third. But trial and error is how we always do it.
There's some really good calculators too. And yeah, you can always feel like in deltas it's kind of weird, flying wings and everything.
That's one of my favorite designs to scratch build and play with. It's always more forward than you think.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about deltas.
Having a roughed up chunk of foam with some weight in the front of it, gliding it around, is the best way, because then you know.
Yeah, so that's the normal, or like the rough CG. What do you do when you're up in the air and actually flying the thing then?
Well, if it glides good, I've never had an issue where it's been in a headache, afterwards.
Then not in a headache, but fine-tuning it.
Oh, fine-tuning it? Okay, yeah, you roll it upside down. If it couples down, it's tail heavy. So in other words, you put it in a 15-degree climb, you roll it inverted, and if it actually turns over and it continues to fly around like you're pushing forward on the stick, then you're tail heavy.
And also there's a glide test. That one is really good on the power. If you do the glide test, pointing 45 degrees towards the ground, have it trimmed out as you would fly it around normally first, then point it 45 degrees to the ground. If it pulls up, it's nose heavy. If it pulls down, it's tail heavy. If it goes straight forward, it's perfect, because that means if it's nose heavy, you trimmed it up.
A tail heavy plane is always pitchy.
Yeah, it is. Lightning!
Lightning round.
Sorry,
next.
Sorry, guys.
This is Eric from Geneva, Switzerland. I wanted to know what you thought of FreeSky, FrSky, and especially the Taranis transmitter. I got one recently, and I find it awesome. I think especially Josh Bixler would like it, since it's cheap and open source, just like the APM. You can program anything you want on this thing. Anyways, wanted to know what you thought of it. Thanks for all your hard work. Love the show. Been listening to the podcast on my commute to work. It's awesome. Keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you.
Is it just me, or does that guy have an amazing knack for just speaking?
He was very articulate.
Holy cow. Yeah. That was
awesome. And it's very clear. It sounds better in our minds.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot half the other question, but that's too late now, I guess.
What about the
30%?
Yeah.
It's halfway. Basically, whatever your full range of throw is, it's 30% of your full range of throw.
Cool.
Okay,
FrSky or FrSky?
It's amazing, and I don't have one, but think about this. What is it, about $185?
You have a system.
I have an FrSky system, but it's the old one.
Not the tranny.
Yeah, not the Tranis. But 18 channels. Now I forget, 16 or 18 channels.
What? Does it matter at this point?
Okay, it's awesome. It's awesome. I had it on top of my head,
just
but now I forget.
Laughing at what David called it.
The tranny.
I caught that as well.
Yeah, I was trying to not look about it, but thanks for calling.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say it.
Yeah, no, it seems amazing. I did get to see it at Weak Signals, the prototype. And,
you did?
Yeah, they actually had the prototype out there, and I grabbed some literature, but I can see it in a future episode too.
Yeah.
Talk about bang for the buck. And the fact that it comes with a case is huge.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The only reason it hasn't been in an episode yet is because it hasn't been in an episode yet.
Yeah, so. Because we don't have one.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Episode inception.
This is Bill from the UK.
Hi, guys. My name is Bill. I'm from the UK. And I just wanted to ask if your respective partners told you that you had to get rid of all your aircraft, all your stuff, and you could only keep one, which single aircraft would you keep to fly for the rest of your days? Keep all the good work.
Excellent show. Sorry, that was me pushing the button. You had a very weird pause.
Wait, hold on.
We're back.
When you held that,
I can still hear you guys. You can just not hear yourself.
Gotcha.
We're good.
So he asked was there a gun to your head and you had to get rid of everything except for one aircraft?
Your spouse is really violent
for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
I think we already answered this question in a previous podcast.
We can go around quick. We can recap.
My answer changed, though, since last
time. Uh-oh. Ooh,
go.
I think I'd do a tricopter FPV.
Nice.
Last time I said fixed wing something or other.
Mine would be the Anycopter Hex.
Mine kind of changed because it's winter now. I want a discus launch glider again.
It's for the rest of your life. It shouldn't change. Man.
Why not? Why shouldn't it
change?
All right,
fine.
Lightning.
I'd be very vague and say quadcopter.
All right, I'm going to say, you know what? I used to talk about the FT Flyer, but the Bixler holds FPV gear, so the Bixler.
Nice.
Ta-da.
Okay.
Namesake. All right, next is from Robbie.
Hey, guys. This is Robbie Hotz from Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm wondering, David, I know that you've flown the multi-Wii control board on some of the quads from Ready to Fly Quads. I was wondering if you're thinking about maybe trying a tricopter or switching your tricopter over to the multi-Wii board because of the GPS capabilities that it offers. Thanks, guys. Really love the show.
Yes, I have it on my tricopter. I actually just took it off because I had... It flies fine, mine. I need... Paul's going to help me a little bit from Ready to Fly Quads. I got it flying good, but it just... There's some small little feeling in it that doesn't just... It doesn't feel 100%. It flies so nice on quads, but I couldn't get it to feel perfect on my tricopter yet. So I need to experiment some more with that.
It's safe to say, too, once he gets the settings dialed in, he's going to broadcast those, too, right?
Yes. Soon, yeah, if I get the settings, I'll post them. But for now, I cannot get it to work. I'm very picky, too. I mean, I don't think most people would actually mind, but I need it to be very responsive.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, sorry about that. I'm experimenting, so more info in the future.
This is Luke from North Carolina.
Hi, this is Luke from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm 15 and been in the hobby about 7 years. And I was wondering, what is the best gimbal to get? I've been doing FPV recently, and eventually would like to get a gimbal. And which would be the best one? I want something cheap, but that will work well. So, thanks a lot. Love your show.
Wow, that's a hard one to answer because there's so many out that we haven't even tested.
Yeah, I would say Ready to Fly Quads has one. It's $75, ready to go.
You're kidding me.
No.
$75, it's already tuned to the GoPro 3 put on it. It was absolutely
gorgeous.
And
it's aluminum.
Okay, that's just crazy.
It is. It's almost insulting.
Yeah, it is. It's, but on the other hand, it's a little bit heavy. And
but it's $75.
Yeah,
it's insulting people that want to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a night. I mean, it has a what do you call it? A negative load on some rubber to as vibration dampening, which isn't as nice as a positive load. So it doesn't dampen.
Yeah, but it's still fine.
For $75, it's a miracle.
Yeah, now you're splitting hairs.
Okay,
that's a great quick question. All right.
Hey, Flight Test. Greetings from Australia. Fantastic show. Keep up the good work, one and all. My question is, when you guys are filming with multi-rotors, do you typically fly in manual / acro mode, or do you tend to fly in auto level / attitude mode? I find that my filming on multi-rotors tends to be quite jumpy if I'm not in full manual mode, and unfortunately, I'm not a very good pilot in full manual mode. Anyway, thanks guys, keep up the fantastic work.
So the question is, do we fly in full manual or
auto level?
Auto level.
Yeah, and
depends on the aircraft.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, tricopter and never flying in stabilized mode at all because I hate it doing anything that I don't tell it to do. On the other hand, if you have a gimbal underneath and you have a platform that just flies, and you don't care about what the platform is doing.
Like Chad's Hex.
Yeah, then it needs to be in fully stabilized
mode. Fly in fully stabilized because I actually fly from the gimbal view.
Yeah, so you're not flying the...
I don't think it's possible to fly in the other mode from the gimbal view.
Really hard.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Yeah, so it all depends. What do you fly then? You don't fly.
Negative.
My backbone, have APM 2.5 on it, and I fly in stable mode. But that's usually going like through trees and everything. It's pretty docile, actually. It doesn't just snap back on you. But acro mode is a lot more fun, and I love the Discovery. Remember the Discovery we did the review on it? I love flying that in Acro mode. It felt really natural, really good, and I love that extra weight. It just kind of, I don't know, it kind of settled, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And Alex?
The answer is yes.
I fly in Acro mode. Primarily because I never took the time to set up
auto level.
So, actually, I couldn't at the time when I built my first multicopters. I couldn't figure it out. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to do this. I'm just going to try to learn how to fly.
Is he talking about the KK board?
Yeah.
The guy that asked the question?
Oh, I don't know. He just said multi-rotors.
He didn't specify. Because if it's the KK board, the auto level won't – because he did say for filming.
Yeah.
And that won't give you enough stability for filming. No. You'll see some pulsating.
Yeah. In any platform, you have a hard-mounted camera. If you're ever in fully stabilized mode, it's always going to do weird stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
For a camera. The camera picks up everything.
Yeah. So okay. Go manual.
Next
question.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Alan from Bozeman, Montana. I just had a quick question on power systems. What would you recommend as far as power to rate ratio? I know there's KV ratings on motors, but there's also a watt rating. So what kind of power to weight are you looking for when you're building planes or choosing motors? I'm specifically looking for combat information. I'm doing some combat planes, streamer combat, etc. Anyway, if you could ask that or answer that, that'd be great. Love your show. It's awesome. Have a good one.
I accidentally hit the switch a little fast.
Sorry. So he's asking for combat, what's the best power to weight ratio?
I would think combat, you want like 3D power, right?
A KV rating has nothing to do with power.
Yeah.
To start out with, the KV rating is just how fast it spins. It does not in any way depicts on how much power the motor can take.
He's asking about watts, though, watts per pound.
Yeah, nobody asked, but you just know they're thinking it.
No, it was the
KV. Did you say the KV?
Yeah.
KV watts.
He did. KV rating and watts.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's very important to know that the KV rating has nothing to do with how much power you can draw out of the motor.
There's kind of a generic form or formula for, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to go off the top of my head, and I think it's in pounds, so it may be a little screwy, but for trainer, it's roughly 50 watts per pound.
Yeah.
For pattern or standard flying, like scale, it's 100 watts per pound, and for 3D, it's 150. Does that sound about accurate to you?
Yeah, you can even go crazier than that.
Go crazier. For combat, it'd probably go 150 watts per pound.
Yeah, and it's also a small prop is going to give you a lot of speed but not a lot of acceleration, whereas a big prop spinning slowly is going to give you a lot of acceleration but not a lot of top speed.
Well, and if you're doing combat, like streamer combat and things like that, you want a big prop that, like the dogfighters were awesome with that because they pulled a huge streamer.
Yeah, you want something that you can slow down and go fast, a wide envelope.
Yeah, and if you have a wider prop, the wider your air column over your control surface is going to be, so you're going to have much better control.
And the easier you can chew up your opponent.
Exactly. So I would... Yeah, go with a little bit more, like 150 watts per pound, and a reasonable big prop. That's what I would say.
Perfect. All right, we're going to try to get through three or four more here. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Dale here. I have a question about multi-rotor control boards and programming. You guys did a review on the Nano QX and has the safe mode and acro mode. I also have the Nano QX. I've noticed in the... safe mode, when you are flying, it will only tilt to a certain degree in each direction, as in you can't do a flip because you're not in acro mode.
What happened? First question ends.
Okay.
Oh, it just stopped?
Yeah, something messed up with the audio file.
Okay. So, yeah, it because it flies through angle.
What was the question? Let's reiterate it.
Yeah, good question. Thank you very much for your question. That was pretty awesome.
just didn't understand
it. No, it was, setting up control boards. He had a Nano QX and flying it in stabilized mode, it goes, you can't do a flip because your stick is actually telling the quad the angle you want the quad, not the velocity you want it to change. Mm. So that's the difference. If you fly it in acro mode, you need to have a lot less throw. Otherwise, it's going to be crazy. Mm.
Fair enough. Well, that was pretty good handling that question, considering we couldn't hear most of it. So, all right, next question.
Why do you choose Futaba radios for long-range FPV compared to other ones similar or in the same class? I can understand not using 2.4 gigahertz, but why Futaba over the others?
That's because Futaba is the best. No, it's because Futaba, they do other things than RC. And they've been...
Cranes,
for instance. And they have had this 2.4 radio control system developed for the cranes long, long time before it was even started being used in RC, 2.4 in RC. Therefore, it has to meet a really specific standard, and it has to be super robust, go through metal and all these crazy multipath interference and that. Therefore, their system is designed on a different budget.
Mm.
And it
we're riding the coattails of something amazing that's much higher end.
Yes, or higher it calling. Is super robust. That system is fantastic.
The fast.
I just learned something new today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's really why it's. I would say it's like 30% better.
They should change it to fantastic.
Yeah, that would fast. Be. Yeah.
How about fascinating?
But they have made changes. Whenever you have an RC system, the less resolution, the longer the range you're going to get, usually, because the less information you have to send, the easier it is to get at a longer distance.
Easy for you to say.
Mm-hmm. All right, somewhere down, guys.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. You often use numbers like 300-size airplane or 80-size motor or something like that. I've been in the hobby for a little bit, but I don't quite understand what that means. Can you explain that for me?
Yeah, it's stupid numbers people make up.
Yeah, well, yeah they're that's the blunt way of putting it.
I think it kind of came back like like 400 size motor. You know, I don't know what a 400 size. I like it when you get to like. Power 10 is the size of a 10-size glow motor, you know?
And right. Yeah, actually, was it eFlight that came up with that numbering system?
I think it was.
So,
boy, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
To the best of our understanding, well, we'll just explain it how we see it, and then if we're wrong, somebody will correct us.
Yeah.
But eFlight came up with a numbering system, and because they were so prominent in the industry, lots of other people started using those same numbers. What it actually means...
The more power.
Yeah, I know what a 400 is because I've used enough that we're in that class, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know either.
Yeah.
They have 250, 300, 370, 400, and 480.
Let's see if we can maybe give them a range, but a 400 is kind of your park size. Consider that like the middle of the range, and then smaller than that is – smaller than a park size, and then bigger is more powerful park, and then you know get into
It's actually from brushed motors to start out with. There was 380 motors, 250 motors, and that. So they ruined it at the start. So thank you very much, the guys that invented that stupid system. I think now really it's like you get used to it. It doesn't really mean anything.
Oh, well, we're actually guilty of that too because we came up with a term you might know called the beef.
Oh boy, yes.
Which is I feel bad about it because it
just means more.
It just means big motor, and there's not one particular motor that's the beef because like Laser Toys, for example,
the
sells.
The beef is a state of mind.
You have to achieve through meditation.
So for all of you out there who are confused on what motor is the beef, there isn't one. It's just the larger motor for whatever particular plane.
Take the motor you have and increase the size.
That's the beef. All right, next question.
Hi, Flight Test. This is Joshua from Maryland. Just wanted to know why you don't do more instructional videos about finishing techniques. Painting panel lines, maybe doing some rivets, some other small details, some other things like that I think might be helpful for those wanting to expand their ability base when they scratch build. Just a suggestion.
Great question. Joshua asks why we don't do more finishing techniques.
I think it's not like why haven't we done it. It's just it's going to be done in the future.
Perfect answer. Be, yeah. And I did do a painting episode.
Yeah. Mentioned earlier as well.
Yeah, so we did do a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the goal too, is we're working a lot with foam. And Dave, obviously with your vegan that you come out, we're taking that to the extreme. Once that goes to an extreme, we'll start with balsa in the beginning and take that through. Then we'll do another application. But our whole app, you know, goal is over the years that Flight Test grows, that we're going to constantly hopefully have more and more educational stuff on more and more things, you know, in different materials, different ways, different advance.
Also, just a shout out to Chris Roncaglione. Yeah. We did a remember? Weathering. Yeah, a weathering. Weathering episode, what was that episode?
That was with the SE5A. We weathered the SE5A Durafly.
Right.
Half of it.
Yeah, matter of fact, it's hanging up in Flight Test headquarters. It's pretty cool. It's like a, you know, Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing.
Flight Test is going to be like Simpsons. We are going to have done everything at one point or another.
Oh, I hope so.
We're just getting to it.
With only 8 episodes a month, it's hard to do everything. So,
but yeah, I think pop rivets, there's some really cool techniques. And by the time we get to it, there's going to be even more, which will be even better.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Next question.
Hey, Flight Test crew. This is Jason Eric Anderson from the forums. And I was just wondering, I know you've done the Avatar gunship before, but what amazing science fiction aircraft or spaceship would you love to have a RC model of? Like, think Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Firefly, anything, or even fantasy creatures. You know, what would be your ultimate RC fantasy flying ship? Take care. Love the show. Bye.
I know that I want an X-Wing. I've always wanted to build an X-Wing.
I stole it!
No, you knew I wanted that.
There's somebody on the...
Remember we saw one at Weak Signals a long time ago.
There's one on flighttest.com. Mm-hmm. Somebody posted one.
When did they post it?
A while ago.
I'll have to check it out.
I'm pretty
sure
it was flighttest.com.
The problem is they usually don't fly that good.
It had this one had canards.
No, this one have it had extra parts on it, right?
So it kind of looked like an Indy car.
I want one that actually is the shape of the X-wing.
Folding wings?
Yeah,
attack mode and regular
heck
mode.
Yeah.
So
he does
sweet.
Now.
Yep.
You know open arrow, right? That's all I got to say. Open arrow.
I want to do an A-wing or a Y-wing. Because I think they would fly. They would fly well.
Yeah, the Y-wing would kind of.
Mm-hmm. Y-wing doesn't have any wings.
If you fly fast enough.
I want to do the from Captain America 1. I know there's a 2 coming out and it has like a ton of awesome looking planes, but that awesome flying wing.
Yeah, the bomber.
And
the huge
complete
one.
With the guided missile helicopter thingy that drops out of the bomb. So.
Oh, it's kind
of
Iron
cool.
Man, or was it the Avengers?
Avengers. The huge airship.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Aircraft carrier quadcopter.
Yes.
It seems to be running on some kind of electricity.
Do you guys catch yourselves just watching movies, just looking for the things that fly to critique them and see if you want to recreate
them? I think the worst, I just saw it recently. I think it was X-Men First Class. They fly the SR-71 Blackbird and they're doing like, dive bombing with it and like doing barrel rolls. It's just kind of
They have like 8 people in the cockpit.
Yeah.
I'm actually working on a third scale Death Star. So that's going to be my RC of choice.
That's popping over the trees over there.
Yep, absolutely. That's why the dirt's moving constantly right across from us. So. All right, next question.
Hello, friends at Flight Test. This is Tom Pike from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Recently, I've been interested in the QAV-250 from Lumineer. I'm just curious your opinion, since you do the rotor bone selection, and I really like the economical approach that it has, how important it is for a frame to be solid, whether wood or a $130 frame really makes that much of a difference. Enjoy the show, and thanks.
Who wants to bite that
What's
apple?
The question? The question is, how important is it for a frame to be solid? Does he mean
solid?
Stiff?
Rigid?
Yeah. Well, do you mean I think, stiff?
I think the
Nod now.
He's not going to answer.
I think the point is unibody. Like, he's asking, is it important to have a mini quad that is made of carbon fiber unibody, or is it important, or is it, does it matter if it's made of wood or whatever?
The important
thing
is to make sure your props are balanced so the thing doesn't rattle.
Yeah. Balance your props and then... and it depends on what you're doing with it.
The first thing that I do is I look at how much it costs to replace an arm. Because
that's a great point.
That's what you're like the, for example, the 350 QX from Horizon Hobby. If you crash and you break one arm, you pretty much have to replace the whole entire frame, which costs, I think, $80 or $70. Mm-hmm. every time compared to like a wooden dowel, which costs like a dollar.
When I do something similar, I just imagine going out to the parking lot, tossing it up 20 feet in the air, and when it hits, I imagine what's going to happen, and then I try to think of what's it take to repair it. And that's why we like wood, because it's cheap.
I have a different view on the thing because I fly precision with the tricopter.
Mm-hmm.
I had wood arms on that to start out with. But the problem is when you fly really fast, like push it, it starts twisting the wood
and
you lose precision. So that's why I fly carbon fiber ones now. I'm actually looking for some good
aluminium. And that way when you hit my truck, it doesn't destroy it.
That was a really awkward moment, by the way. No. I hit Chad's truck at 200 miles an hour,
and it didn't
do anything.
Not a scratch.
It skipped over. It hit the truck, skipped over the what was it? Not the Robin Hood. The Roadrunner. Then smashed into the ground.
I don't think we're asking the right questions. Did it go through the truck?
Yeah. No.
Undisturbed.
I did manage to pull up, so I hit an open door on the aft side of the car. So it hit with one prop. You'd see streak.
The best part is we found a bit of prop 2 weeks later.
Inside of the, between the window and the seal, there was a bit of a prop sticking out.
That's not the only time you've hit his truck, though.
That's true.
You did. I was there for both of them. You tried to land on his truck while it was moving.
I did, yes.
And then he stopped.
But he stopped.
So a rigid frame is good for performance. If you want repairability, cheap materials are good. And actually, if you're filming and you want nice fluid shots, I don't know.
At that point, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, you get a gimbal and...
Yeah, if you get a gimbal and you have a stiff enough frame, it's good.
Here's why I don't get it. We're talking about 250 or 250 size quads.
Nothing is going to be soft enough in that size.
Yeah.
A half-inch boom would be like building on a concrete. Because you can't... You know, what is that? Probably 10 inches?
No, less than that.
Less than that?
Like yeah, it's half a super that, I would think.
Oh my gosh.
5 inches.
Try to twist a half inch boom. I mean, rigidity should not be an issue at that point.
No, not at that point, but bigger things,
I think that's just what Mini Quads is boasting of, is the durability. And
that sort
of
thing. Well, they better be durable.
They better be.
I like the new prop designs coming out.
Yeah, you watch out. You better be.
Yeah.
Things will get ugly.
All right, next question.
Okay, well, actually, in the interest of being a responsible host, I'm actually going to draw it to a close here. There was a lot of questions we didn't get to, and actually, there's a lot of questions I haven't even listened to, but we will get to those in future podcasts.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's amazing that we're actually having that problem. It's a great problem to have.
In response, you can mute Austin when he talks.
If you would like to leave us a voicemail, you can go to speakpipe.com/flighttest. I will eventually listen to your voicemail, and as long as the audio quality is listenable, I will play it on the show. Just want to thank everyone for listening. Want to thank everyone in the forums that make it such an enjoyable place to be.
Yeah, and if you haven't gone to the forums, check it out. It's an amazing community.
Absolutely.
And Austin, thank you for all the work you put into the podcast. So
anytime.
Organizing it, keeping us on track. It's a tough job. I know it.
I'm happy to do it.
Get it in like a banana peel just straight into the podcast room. We had no idea.
They were like, what are we doing today? Oh, podcast? Okay. Cool. Where's the mic?
What's it about?
But we got headphones, which is I like.
Yeah, we do
also,
have headphones.
Also, thanks to Chris Roncaglione because of him, there's a weekly flight test podcast now.
Absolutely. Which you're like on all the podcasts now.
Yeah. Alex is the podcast man.
Yeah. He just weaves in and out of all the podcasts.
I really hope that you guys are looking forward to the next FT After Hours as much as I am.
I am, definitely.
So anyway, everyone, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Bye.